Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, then congratulations. We consider that a sign of a high intelligence, and you're going to be glad you did, because we got our good buddy Cliff Inico back with us. Cliff is an attorney. He works with a lot of small businesses in his law practice, specializing in legal and tax issues for small businesses. He's the author of the eBay Sellers Tax and Legal Answer Book, and he's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. Cliff, welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
We're doing great. It's good to have you back.
Good.
How's the law business in the recession?
Well, you know what, Lee? Well, my business is cranking right now because everybody and his brother now wants to become an entrepreneur. They're waking up finally to the fact that traditional middle management jobs in corporate America are not where the future are, and they're all starting to do all kinds of things. It's like that old Chinese saying, let 100 flowers bloom. They're all starting all kinds of stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing when you talk to these guys? You know, one of the things I've been concerned about is that what's different about this recession and hopefully the impending recovery is the lack of access to capital. In the past, we had lots and lots of capital available for small business owners when I started my business 20 years ago, and you know, all the recessions and slowdowns since then. But this was different. We don't have the same level of capital acquisition. What are your folks telling you about that?
Well, it's hurting a lot of people, obviously. Some people more than others. Obviously, if you're in a construction-related business, these are extremely tough times for you right now, because those people live on bank loans. But there are a lot of other people doing quite well. My philosophy of life has always been you should not have to rely on outside financing for a small business until you're about a year or two down the road. You should make every effort to try to break even from operating revenue on your operating revenue during the first year or two, because if the business isn't getting money from customers, why is any sane lender going to lend to it?
And why? Yeah, exactly. That's an excellent point, and it's the reason why it always bothers me when I hear somebody say they want to start a business and they're aggravated because the bank won't loan them any money today, you know, right now.
Yeah, but
or something like that.
$250,000 in an SBA loan right now.
Exactly.
Today.
You know, that's exactly right.
You know, exactly. Yeah, well, look, the key to surviving these tough times, Jim, I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again, especially if you're in a service business, which I know a lot of your listeners are, what you have to do is you have to find a dirty job that nobody wants to do but has to get done, and then charge lots of money for doing it. That's how you survive in the business. I was talking to a guy, not to digress, I just met this guy at a seminar the other night, but he's an appliance salesman who got laid off. He was like an appliance salesman repairman. Washer-dryers were his thing. Now, you talk about a guy who's going to have to really reinvent himself. But he came up with something brilliant. He sent out flyers to a lot of people here in town saying, worried about the lint in your dryer? lint. Even though you clean out your lint filter every day in your dryer, lint builds up in there. Those lint filters only pick up like 20-30% of the lint. And eventually it gets to a critical mass, and you can have a silo-type explosion in there. You know, for $75, I will come over, I will thoroughly clean the lint out of your dryer, and also I'll check your washer hoses, too, make sure there's no leaks. This guy is busier right now than a one-armed paper hanger. He told me he had a backlog of 40 people.
Hey, I wonder if that would work in my market. I may try that in part-time or something.
Yeah, because think about it. I mean, next time you take your clothes out of the dryer, you do kind of wonder about that lint that's down there that you can't get
now,
to.
Now, Cliff, you know that I don't take my clothes out of the dryer, and you don't either.
Well, I don't even put them in the washer, but we don't want to go there.
But we do know how to do that. If we had to, we would know how to do that.
Yes, I am a little metrosexual. I can handle, you know, I do know what that on-off switch means. Yeah, I can handle that. I know. That's the beauty of working
out of... Good for that guy. Good for that guy reinventing himself. I mean, he's doing what he has to do, isn't he?
Well, see, exactly. If you think about it, it doesn't take genius. It just takes that little bit of creative imagination saying, now, what are people really scared about that they would actually pay, like, you know, $75 or, you know, a reasonable amount to get fixed? Well, boom, there it was. So we're beautiful. Yeah, I always tease people, you know, Jim, this is the beauty of working out of home. I tell people that I operate the first clothing-optional law practice in the northeastern United States.
That's a little more information than we really needed there, Cliff. Hey, Cliff, give us your website, please.
Sure. It's I got two of them. For the law practice, it's cliffenico.com, which is CLIFFENNICO.com. But I got a brand new one that talks about all my books and my seminars and the stuff that
right.
I do, and that is succeedinginyourbusiness.com.
Succeedinginyourbusiness.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want Cliff to talk to us about what he thinks from a legal tax standpoint, tax and legal standpoint. What does he think about the new some of the new stimulus package provisions for small businesses? And then a little bit later on in our visit, we're going to talk about. He's going to help us understand how to avoid getting audited by the IRS, if that's actually possible, or at least reducing the risk. I'll call it that: reducing the risk of an IRS audit. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. We built it for you. If you got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes, we got something that'll help you there. You can read, you can listen to, you can check out the my blog, which I hope you will. My new post is about the wonderful world of niches. And so I hope you check that out. And also, my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, which you can ask a question and get an answer, get many answers, actually. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. And of course, we post all of the interviews that we do on the radio. We post those on our website every day by mid-morning. They're all up there, and you can go back and listen to those things again, replay them to your little heart's content. Cliff Inico is here. He's a good friend, member of our Brain Trust, the author of the eBay Seller's Tax and Legal Answer Book. Outstanding resource for us and for you. Cliff, we were talking, I want you to talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on the provisions for small business in the economic stimulus package. I've covered these myself on the show. I'm some of the things that they're making available to small business owners are really good, like the loss carryback. But some of the things that they're so accepting. Some of the things that they're making available, in my opinion, are they're proud of them, but they're not really helping small businesses that much. Go ahead.
I agree with you more, Jim. First of all, I mean, everybody talks about small business in Washington, how important it is. They create 97% of all the new jobs in America.
Lip service.
But there's exactly, and of course, they're true. And there's a big but. We have a major problem in Washington, which is that very, very few of the senators and representatives in Washington today have ever run a small business. In fact, to be
never
honest
made
with
a
people,
payroll.
I don't think I've ever found a one, to be honest with you. A lot
some
of these people.
Some of them have. Some of them have. But I'm going to say, I'm going to take a wild flyer here, Cliff, and say that maybe 5% have ever made a payroll.
I'd go down even lower than that. I'd say something like 1 or 2%. There are a couple.
You're probably right.
I don't want to slander these people, but the vast majority.
Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind
Washington
that. It's okay.
Today in Congress, and they don't get it. They don't get it all. So, for example, you talk about the NOLs. Let's talk about that. One of the provisions in the new stimulus bill, it's called the AARA, the American Recovery and, was it, Rehabilitation Act or something like that. They always give them these great, you know, highfalutin names here.
Sounds like I need rehab or something, which I
exactly.
don't.
Exactly. So they passed a provision for small business that said that it used to be that you could only carry back NOLs, net operating losses, for 2 years. Now you can carry them back for 5 years. Well,
that's a really good provision.
Okay, well, I'm going to question you on that, because let me ask you, what type of business can carry back NOLs? There's only one kind of business that can carry back NOLs, legally. It's the C-corporation. The only C-corporations
can carry back NOLs. I've carried back losses before.
You have?
I have an S-corporation.
Oh, interesting. Because I always thought that LLCs and S-corps cannot carry back deduct NOLs.
No, I think I've done that, but I know I've done that before.
Well, that's interesting.
I know I've done that before.
Okay. That's it, because I was going to challenge on that, because the vast majority of small businesses.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll verify that, but no, I've done that before in the past.
Well, interesting.
And of course, now
we should both look into that, because it's interesting, because the vast majority of small businesses.
Yeah, that was one area that I always thought was a good thing, and I've had other tax experts on the show that thought that was a good thing. So I think S's can do that. At least, well, can an individual do a loss carryback?
I don't. The answer is now. Well, now that we're having this conversation, I think we both need to look into that.
My principal objection
was that, you know, only certain types of businesses can carry back NOLs, and the vast majority of small businesses are sole proprietors, LLCs, S corps, and stuff like that. That probably couldn't avail themselves to the full extent. The other thing about the NOL thing is that in order to take advantage of it, you do have to go back and amend prior year's tax returns.
Right.
And whenever you amend prior year's tax returns, you may be exposing yourself a little bit more to the IRS than perhaps other people are, and you might want to give some serious thought to that.
So if it's only a few bucks, don't do it, but it could turn into significant bucks if you had a great, you know, 05, 6, and 7 or something like that, and 08 and 09 were not so good, or I should say 07 or 08 or whatever, it fell off the cliff, and especially for 09, with 09 looking so rough, I think it's gonna, that's a good provision. The one that they seem to be so proud of that I thought was not all that great is the Section 179 direct expensing to $250,000. Most small businesses in a good year don't buy $250,000 worth of capital goods.
Oh, absolutely. And even if you do, what bank is going to lend you that kind of money?
Right.
In this kind of climate,
it's an esoteric opportunity, and it's a good idea, and it sounds good when they say it, but it doesn't help that many small business owners to take the amount from 125 to 250, $250,000 a year. I'm not going to give them credit for that. Now, what do you think about some of the SBA provisions they put in the bill?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I like the fact that they're increasing the guarantee for SBA loans, but the problem is it's not going to do any good, Jim. I have to be honest with you. I am not a very big fan of the Section 7 SBA loan program. I never have been. It's nice in theory, but it doesn't work in practice. Banks are banks, and whenever they do a loan, they hit you, they clobber you with 10,000 pages of documentation. You got a second set of documents from the SBA on top of that, and they very frequently don't agree with each other. You're going to end up, you can only borrow, what is it, up to $150,000 in a Section S7 loan, you're going to pay at least $3,000 to $5,000 of that in legal and accounting fees just to get the paperwork done properly.
You know, I have an SBA loan that is almost paid off that I got years ago, Cliff, and back in the 90s, it worked pretty well, and it was an important one to me. The problem with it is that it only affects a very small amount of small business owners. We need to get that available to more small businesses. Stand by. Here we go. Tintail. Be right back.
And then the man steps right up to the microphone. Says it lasts just as the time bell rings.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Cliff Inico. Cliff is the author of the eBay Seller's Tax and Legal Answer book. He's a tax attorney and a small business attorney. Cliff, you've got some ideas on how to reduce the risk of an IRS audit. But before you get into that, I want to ask you what you think about extensions. There's an automatic extension at March
15th
for corporations.
Exactly. Corporations, any business entity, you can get an automatic 6-month extension. The only thing you got to remember about extensions is you can get an extension on filing your return. There's no extension on paying tax. If you owe the IRS money, they want to see that money by April 15th, with your extension filing, with your extension form. You can take 6 months to file the return, but they want their money now. If you owe the money now, if you're getting a refund, of course, different story. Then you don't have to worry about anything. It's just that filing an extension will delay your refund, obviously, because they want to get the return before.
But if you know you owe some money, and you send in your extension, and you don't have all the money, and you send them some money, that's still going to buy you some time. It may cost you some interest, but it's still going to buy you some time, right?
Precisely, and it may increase the audit risk if the IRS thinks you're playing around.
But I've never heard anybody anything that sounded like you'd increase your audit risk by filing an extension. That's the big thing I want to get out to people. Filing an extension is just too automatic. It's just too easy for you to do for the IRS to be targeting you if you do it.
And you're probably right about that. I mean, look, most lawyers and accountants go on extension because we're so busy during tax season helping other people with their problems. We're the,
exactly.
the kids who shoemaker, with a shoemaker whose kids have no shoes. We're always the ones who file
right.
an extension. So, no, there's absolutely nothing illegal, immoral, or fattening about it. It's just that, you know, it's a cloud that's hanging over your head now for another 6 months. That's all.
Well, but if you don't have the time to do it, if you don't have all your information, I do it every year. We just don't worry about it. We don't get all bent out of shape about it. We just take our time
sometimes
and we do it when
we're
supposed to.
Let me tell you something. I got people, you know, they say you're supposed to send out your 1099s by January 31st. I get people who send me January to 1099s in April. You know, they pay.
Now, that's not right. 1099s are like W-2s.
Right.
They're supposed
to be
out. And there shouldn't be any reason not to send those out. But one of the things I wanted to point out, Cliff, is that this year your extension for your business entities – is only for 5 months. It's only to September 15th, so that you can have your reporting in for your individual return, which would be due by October 15th, right?
Right, that's correct.
But it's only
corporations.
For
corporations, of course, it's September 15th because you have to file March 15th. It's still 6 months. It's just that because you file the month earlier, it goes to September 15th.
But when you, I'm thinking of, you know what I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of LLCs and partnerships, which you extend in April 15th. Those are only for five months.
That's only for five months this year, yeah.
Right. Talk to us about how to minimize the risk of an audit.
Okay, here we go. Well, first of all, April is the cruelest month, as we always know. Poets said that a long time ago, and it's definitely true about this. You know, if I had to pick a small business owner's five biggest fears, one of them would be being audited by the IRS, which is, you know, a definite fear. We all know that whenever you are self-employed, whenever you start filing Schedule C or whatever, your risk of getting audited increases, and for a very good reason, because we're really the only people around who are in a position where we can play games on our taxes. You know, somebody who works for a corporation gets a W-2 at the end of the year. All that stuff has been done by his employer. The fact, you know, there isn't any wiggle room for him to play games, even if he wants to. You know, whereas since we're in control of our cash flow as self-employed people, we're in a position where if we are tempted or if we go over to the dark side, we're in a position where we can. So the IRS tends to focus on us more than they do the rest of the general population. Now, some people know that, you know, there's also kind of a lottery. They spit out, you know, returns at random, supposedly, for audit, and you know, if it ever happens to you, it isn't that you did anything wrong. It's just that you congratulations, you won the lottery. But what a lot of people don't know is that it's not entirely as random as most people think.
Mm-hmm. 30 seconds,
Cliff. You know, nobody really. It's kind of like Google. Nobody really knows how the Google algorithms work. Well, nobody really knows how the IRS algorithms work either. But we do know that there are certain little things that will make it much more likely that your return will be spat out for audit. On the income side, for example.
Quickly, I got 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay.
Quickly.
Okay. Make sure that you report at least as much income as the 1099s that you attach to your return.
Right.
Watch out for deductions that have very complicated rules, like meals, entertainment, mileage. Those are the ones the IRS really focuses on like a razor beam. The more complicated it is to comply with a deduction requirement, the more likely it is you're going to get audited.
Well said, Cliff. Thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Cliff Inicoli.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.